I'm going to be reading to you from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 14, where it says, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything that goes on as it has been since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forgot long ago by God's word that the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of the water and by the water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some have understood slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in them will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God's and his speed, his coming. That day will bring about destruction of heavens by the fire, then the elements will melt like heat. But the keeping of his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. May God bless the reading of his word." Now, we might learn a thing or two today, because there's things that sometimes we just take for granted because we've read them or heard them so many times, we don't know. Now, I'll start off with Christians, churches, and entertainers, even entertainers, sing "Joy to the World" as a Christmas carol. But that is not what Isaac Watts wanted for people to sing the hymn, to sing about when he first wrote the hymn. It wasn't written originally as a Christmas carol. Why did Isaac Watts write this song? And what can that mean for us? That's where we're going to start today as we begin to wind down our Christmas season. Now, back in the 1700s, there was a man who wrote hymns. Lots of hymns. Nearly 750 songs that we still have. And many have faded away with the passage of time. But as you look through the hymnals, there are many that are still being sung today. In the hymnal in front of you, the one in front of you today, we actually have 11 of his hymns in that book. And we're going to look at a couple of them this morning. Now, I'm not going to make you suffer by singing, so we're just going to give you the words. Although, I almost feel like singing. I don't know, we'll just do the words. "At the cross. At the cross when I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there I received my sight, and now I am happy all day." That's one of them. "I sing the mighty power of God that had made the mountains rise and spread the flowing seas abroad and built lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day, and the moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey." That's another one of those Isaac Watts songs. Some of those familiar to you? Some of you opened the hymnal before, you might know what it is. And one of his most popular songs, that it was so popular that a modern group gave it a new chorus. So when the modern group thinks it, you think it's they wrote a great song. Actually, they just took Isaac's song. "And when I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but lost, and poor of contempt on all my pride. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, bids me come and die, and that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here, by the grace draw near and bless your name. And Isaac Watt wrote these songs, and 700 and so on more. He also wrote one of the most famous Christmas carols of all time, Joy to the World. You've got a copy in your bulletin. It says, Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let the earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing. It seems that every church sings it as a Christmas carol. And I've sung it here. We here sing it as a Christmas carol. Because it's actually in your hymnal stuck in the Christmas carol sections. There's one small glitch to that practice. Isaac Watts did not write Joy to the World to glorify the birth of Christ. No, he didn't. He wrote it to glorify the day that Christ will return to the earth. It's called the Second Coming. Now, I want you to notice some of the words of that song, and that's why I made you a copy and take it home. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let the earth receive her king. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. He rules the world with truth and grace. Now, when Christ came the first time, when he was born, He was born to die for our world. But when he comes again, he will return to rule over the world, to reign as king. Now, my favorite example in opening up a conversation about end times, especially with an unsaved person, is actually one I borrowed from the Reverend Billy Graham. Now, if I'm in a conversation with an unsaved person, I don't always say, give him the Reverend Graham credit because I'm in the middle of a conversation. I just love how it works, and it's my favorite quote. And some of you have heard it before, but it's good. It's really good. So if you heard it before, it's good. Just understand it. See, Billy Graham actually appeared on the Johnny Carson show several times. It was wonderful. Go back and watch YouTube. They're talking religion. They're talking God. They spend a whole hour just talking about the Bible. Oh, when would he ever done that lately? Oh, I mean, but you can YouTube and watch all his appearances. But one time, see, now some of you people sitting in the pews don't know who Johnny Carson was. Johnny Carson... No, they don't know. They never saw him. He was never on television. See, he was a television talk show host. And so he would bring people on. He was the best one of his day. Actually, I wish some of them went back to his old style. And at one point, there was a lull in the conversation. And Johnny said to Billy Graham, it's like his third or fourth visit, he said, you know, I bet you if Jesus ever came back to earth, we'd do him in again. And Billy Graham watched the video, leaned forward in his seat and said, in the Bible we read that Jesus predicted that he would return to the earth again one day. But the first time he came in love, the second time he's coming in power, and no one will do him in. Now I can preach that one. I can make a sermon of that, and it's really a great conversation. But some of you heard it before, but it's good. You'll live with it. See, the second coming of God will be... It's going to be invading when it happens. When it happens, it's when it's over, it will be the end of the world as we know it. And when the author of the play walks up to the stage, the play's over. That's how you tell the play's over. Well, God's walking up to the stage at the end time, and it's over, and what we know is going to be done. But Isaac Watts looked forward to the second coming with joyful expectation. That's why he wrote Joy to the World. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Now, for you trivia lovers, Isaac Watts' journal, we have his journal, tells us where he got his inspiration from. It is Psalms 98, starting in verse 4. And we're going to look at it. And you'll understand he wrote many hymns from here, if you actually listen to these words. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Birth into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp, and with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and a blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, and the world and all who live in it. Give the rivers and let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, and he will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. Huh. So Jesus will come as a king, and he will come to judge the earth. And we're told, let there be joy to the world. The Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. Now, oddly enough, in the world that you and I live in, not everybody really seems excited about the return of Jesus Christ or his coming back. Some folks, they don't want Jesus to come back because when he does come back and return, he's going to judge them. Lots of people like living the way they live, and so they deny that he'll come back. And if Jesus doesn't come back, he can't tell them they're living wrong lives. And if he doesn't pass judgment on their sins, they can go on living like they always have. They use the same reasoning men use for not going to the doctor. If you don't know about it, you can't do nothing about it, right? Notice I did not say women. See, if I don't go to the doctor, he won't be able to tell me I'm sick. Any of you men ever done that? And if the doctor doesn't tell me I'm sick, then I could go on pretending I'm not sick. Our scripture passage for today tells us, scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers have fell asleep and all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation, for they deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of the water and through the water. Now that's 2 Peter 3:3 and through 5. There are scoffers, and they scoff at God because they want to continue to follow their own sinful desires. That speaks about our world today, doesn't it? They embrace the darkness. They seek to pull as many as they can into the darkness. You have to do it. You have to accept it. You have to do it. For they hate the light. Now, we have a picture here of Julian Huxley. He's actually a sir. He was knighted. Believe it or not, they knighted him. He was one of those scoffers. He's a very prominent public figure, and he was also an atheist and one of the world's leading opponents to evolution. Oh, pardon me, he's one of the leading proponents of evolution. I've read half of his books. They're garbage, but I read them. And he was asked in a TV interview when he was older and gray hair, why the scientific community so quickly embraced Darwin's idea of evolution. And he replied, I suppose the reason we leap to embrace the origins of species is that the idea that God can interfere with our own sexual mores. See, all he wanted to do was, because he was the deviant. We have kids here. You're just going to have to leave it at that word, okay? That's why scoffers do what scoffers do. They scoff at God because God gets in their way. So there are some people who wouldn't want Jesus to return, but then there are others who are afraid he might. Back in the year 2005, NBC launched a show called Revelations. Notice people who don't know the Bible always add an S to the end of Revelation, right? But Revelations. And to be honest, it was not a biblical show. Nowhere even close to a Bible show, biblical show. Basically, it was trash. In that show, the Bible character was a nun called Sister Jo, who investigated the strange phenomenon that might signify the apocalypse, the second coming of Christ. And the executive producer, said that Sister Jo believes in Revelations. Notice the end of the S. But she refuses not to have hope. She feels that mankind can come together and forestall and hinder the end of days that God has thrown out. That's what the show was trying to show you, that man could stop God from doing what God's going to do. Now, the show did not last long. But those of the world gave it 7 Emmy nominations, and it actually won one for a piece of junk. But it won an Emmy. Pardon me. How many of you got a little frog in your throat today? We're all kind of doing some cold weather. It was a terrible show. It was an absolute terrible show. But it won an Emmy. But the world around us loved it because it made them feel that God was not in charge, that man was. That's the whole point of the show. Why would anybody want to hinder Jesus from coming back? Well, NBC is a secular organization, and as a secular organization, they try to think how they'd feel if Jesus came back. And what they would feel would be fear. They don't want Jesus coming back, because when Jesus returns, Jesus is going to lay down some law. You know, every once in a while you think some mother should just lay down the law on the back of a kid in a grocery store, and some kids, well, we won't go there. When he comes in power and in judgment, he's coming back. They don't want Jesus coming back. But you don't want to be on the wrong side of the street when he does come back. Now, oddly, the fear of Jesus' return isn't necessarily a bad thing. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 tells us, the days of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and its works will be done in and will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, What sort of people ought you be in lives? You ought to live in holiness and godliness, because everything else is going to be gone. Waiting and hastening for the day of the coming of the Lord. Because of which heavens we set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies, they'll be going to be burnt up. One of the more liberal ministers in this town once asked me if I believed in global warming. I said, yeah. 2 Peter 3:12 tells us that the heavens will be set on fire, and everything will dissolve in the heavenly bodies, and they'll melt and burn. You can't get much warmer than that. They didn't talk to me the rest of the day. If you're going to ask me, yeah, it's all going to be gone. You know, God's going to replace it. I'm not worried. Now, Billy Graham, in one of his books, and it's not this one here, Nearing Home. I always try to put the book up that I'm remembering it's from. But I started thinking this morning I might be wrong on that, so you might have to check me out if I'm right. It's a great book if you've never read it. He tells of his granddaughter. Now, she's a little bit over 3 years old, and she loves to be near me. So some time ago, I was cooking some eggs on the stove, and she got up on the chair to watch. And I had to warn her, don't touch. The stove will burn you. Can you picture Billy Graham up in his flannel shirt? You know, he wasn't always wearing a suit, cooking some eggs, you know. And he wrote, I said this several times, because at her age, she doesn't know enough to be afraid of the heat that's coming off the burners of the stove. But fear isn't always a bad thing, he wrote. I wanted her to be a little bit afraid, so I warned her. She's never been burned, but she's been warned. Can you picture that teaching? It's a good, solid teaching. That's what God wants for us. He doesn't ever want us to be burned, so he's warned us. We've been warned that in the heat of the day of God, the heavens will be set on fire, and the heavenly bodies will melt and they'll burn. Therefore, God warns us, be careful and don't get too close to the fire. Just live lives of holiness and godliness so that you've got nothing to worry about. You see, the second coming of Jesus will be dangerous, but not for us. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be frightened. If we're following Jesus, we're going to follow him all the way to heaven. And for us, Jesus' second coming will be a time of joy. Now, I know there's a lot of modern second day coming preachers and teachers who focus on the wrong thing. They focus on fear rather than joy. Oh, yeah, you can get more money donated to if you focus on fear. You know what I'm saying? They tend to focus on the Antichrist rather than on the return of Jesus Christ. They like to really concentrate on the mark of the beast rather than the mark of the Lamb. On fearing the beast rather than in hoping for Christ. And following the timetable they think they see in Revelation rather than the fact that when it's all said and done, we'll be joining Christ in the great wedding feast. I can handle that. Now, how many of you remember Opie Show? Some of you, once again, he was a sheriff. That was his son, right? Not married. They're fishing. For those who don't know there are people out here who don't know what the show is. And I've always loved the meme. Andy Griffin and Opie were sitting in the lake. And Opie asked, Pa, When's Jesus coming back? And Nanny replies, I don't rightly know, Opie. You see, we're not on the planning committee. We're on the welcoming committee. They said that on television. Boy, times have changed. That's all we really need to worry about. Being on the welcoming committee. Because you see, that's what we're looking for, his return. For us, it'll be a time of great joy. Because when Jesus is coming back, he's coming back for us. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Also believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be to myself. That where I am, you may be also. Now you can read those words in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 13. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Now if you have one of those great, wonderful King James Bibles, it tells you I go to prepare a mansion. Let me sidebar here. I don't know why he wants to build me anything. I'm not leaving his feet for the first 10,000 years, right? But he's saying that so we know he's got a place. We'll be right with the Father's house. And I am not making fun of that. I'm not leaving him. I'm walking with him, talking with him. But we got all eternity. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day. But if I don't get through the sermon, you're not going to get the treats out there, so. Here's the deal. When Jesus returns, he's going to come like a thief, and when the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will burn up and dissolve, and the earth will be, and its works will be done in, and all will be exposed. And when that happens, we want to be ready so we can go to him with him for eternity. Charles Swindoll, in his book, said he once worked in a machine shop, and a guy was named with George. George's job was to sweep out and clean under the great big large lathes and, you know, things that were there, the shavings that come out of the big lathe machine working with metal, right? You know, here there's going to be a picture of a lathe show up there, and you're going to say, that's too little. Oh, no, this one's going to be big. Go, let's go with the lathe. Bring her up here in a second. There we go. That's not the biggest lathe you're ever going to see. Picture all that metal coming off on the floor, right? George loved Jesus, and he followed his teaching about Jesus' return. And Swindoll said, I remember him singing as he worked. And many of them had to do with the coming of Jesus Christ. And in the sweet by and by, and when the roll call is called up yonder. Then one Friday afternoon, about 10 minutes before quitting time, and we were all worn out. And we looked at George, hey, George, are you ready? As in ready to go home. And he said, yep. But he was all dirty. He was obviously not ready. In fact, he looked like he was ready to keep on working. And Swindoll, when he's working, he said, aren't you ready to go home? He said, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready. He said, look, man. Swindoll said, you're not ready to go home. You got to clean up. Then he said, no, let me show you something. And he put his hand up there and he unzipped his coveralls. And underneath those coveralls were the neatest, cleanest clothes you can imagine. He had been ready the whole time. All he had to do was, when the whistle blows, unzip the coveralls, step out of the coveralls, and he could walk right up and punch out on the time clock. And he was gone. He said, you see, I stay ready to keep from getting ready, just like I'm ready for Jesus. For George, the coming of Jesus was going to be a time of joy. And he intended to be ready. The question is, morning, are you ready? How will it all end? It's been mankind's major question for centuries. Historians have studied the past, trying to hope, find clues and all this. Philosophers have tried to penetrate the meaning of things. They're trying to find a key. No wonder people have a mixed, they're perplexed. they've turned to desperation, this astrology and spiritualism. The prophetic word of God shines like a light in the dark place. You can read those words in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And on God's word we can depend. The Apostle John received key events in the book of Revelation that will, and he recorded them so that things that will take place as God wraps up the human history and ushers in the new heaven and new earth. The word translated revelation simply means unveiling. That is the definition of the word. It means unveiling. We get our English word apocalypse from this word, which unfortunately today is synonymous with chaos and catastrophe. The word, the verb simply means to uncover, to reveal, to make manifest. In the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit pulls back the curtain and gives us the privilege of seeing the glorified Christ in heaven and the fulfillment of his sovereign purpose in this world. In other words, Revelation is an open book in which God reveals his plans and purpose for his church. And when Daniel finished writing his prophecies, he was instructed to shut up the words and seal the book. But when John was given the opposite instruction, it says, "To seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now, those words of God are found in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 10. Why? Since Calvary, the resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, God has been ushering in the last days and fulfilling his hidden purpose to the world. His time's at hand. But his time is when he decides. Not even the Son knows. During this new year, I watched all sorts of Revelation shows and people burning up and all this in-world stuff. Let me tell you a secret. The world's afraid. That's why they put the shows on. Hey, I may not wake up tomorrow. I'm going home. I've done many funerals, and most of you know that if they have a really bad funeral at like Eastgate or Bismarck Funeral Home, they'll call up and say, "Can you help?" The saddest funeral to do is for an unsaved person. The easiest funeral to do is for a saved person. No, I mean, it's a total different atmosphere. You know, if, as a minister, you're giving the sermon, right? There are tears, but they're not tears of loss and, oh, you do an unsaved person, it's just wailing and mashing of teeth. And I won't tell you the one I did in December. It was terrible. It was terrible. I'm going home. Amen. Now, should I live in fear? The word fear we take wrong. Fear means respect, honor. You know, I understand that God has the power to say yes, no, maybe, you know. The hardest thing to listen to is wait. I do not like that wait word. I'd rather have him say no to something than wait. How many times has he told you wait? Be patient. My mother-in-law, one of the smartest ladies I knew, told me never pray for patience because God will teach it to you. No, seriously. You pray for patience, you got to learn how to have it. This new year, we're going to be on a journey. Did you know that Bible sales, I've told you this before, from the month of November, we're up 22%, and total book sales were down 1%? For the month of December, just the newest statistics came in, Bible sales are up 35%, book sales are still down 1%. There's glimmers of hope, there's glimmers of future. Do you know who the number one selling Bibles to right now? Catholic men are buying Bibles. Something's a changing, folks. Something's a changing. Let's enjoy it. There's hope on the winds. Hey, there's beauty on the winds. He's coming again. Now, I might die a natural death, but it ain't going to be that much longer. I mean, if you look what's going on in the world. Now, we need to close in prayer. There's muffins and treats out there. If you want to take some home, because some people are missing, because they all stayed away because it was cold, you can take an extra one home, too. But you got to help us eat them, okay? You're all invited to enjoy this first snack. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us beyond words. You've given us in your holy word what's happening and will happen. Give us the patience to wait. Give us the wisdom to understand that it's to save those from being lost. You are being patient so that none might be lost. Oh, what a blessing that is. Now guide us and direct us in being a light to the world. In your humble name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.